how appropriate that a session on discovery layers is in a room called Discovery. I thought that was very good of the planning committee to do that. So, again, my name is Peter Murray. I'm the Assistant Director for New Service Development at OhioLINK. I have an outline for the presentation today. Just, I don't want to start with any assumptions. I want to ask, you know, answer the question, what is OhioLINK, in case anybody doesn't know. And then talk about a little bit about user behavior and how users are searching for information and how they're looking for it in the libraries and what actually happens outside the libraries. Then talk a little bit about the dilemma that we're in libraries right now and the vast stores of information that we have and how we can take advantage of our advantages. Finally, talk about the components of a new initiative at OhioLINK for a new discovery layer system, along with the process that we're following, and a bit of reality check about how this is going to get implemented on campuses. So the first question is, what is OhioLINK? Do you know what OhioLINK is?
The one person who probably didn't.
The one person who probably didn't left the room, okay. We're the consortium of higher education libraries, public, private, university, through community college. Here's a map of our locations listed across the state. We're an organization that's about 20 years old now from its original founding documents. Originally started as a document delivery, physical book service. We built a union catalog of items and created a requesting and delivery service that took what used to be an interlibrary loan of 3 weeks and dozens of dollars down to 2 or 3 days and under $10 per transaction. So really started the process of building a library community in the state. And in fact, we hear that the word OhioLINK is used as a verb. I needed to OhioLINK that textbook, for instance, is one that we hear a lot. Many news stories coming about how to save money on textbooks start with, oh, you're in Ohio, you can use the OhioLINK system to find your textbooks. But of course, we're more than that. Electronic journals, research databases, theses and dissertations, image sets, sound sets, videos, commercially produced information, information that's produced on our campuses and shared widely. So, along with all of that host of information is the problem of many interfaces. Every system that we have has pretty much an interface of its own. There's a lot of rich content behind here. Some of these interfaces are for systems that are running at OhioLINK. Some of these interfaces are commercial interfaces, such as NetLibrary here, that we get the content from. And the user is faced with this bizarre set of choices right up front, where they're going. How are they going to find the information that they're looking for in the hundreds of databases and access systems that we have in OhioLINK? And it's probably no wonder that the user is a bit baffled and as our user studies show, turned off by this fact, by the fact that they have to make a decision right up front before they type any keywords. Where are they actually going to seek this information out? This is particularly noteworthy when they have Google and have this simple text box in which they can put in their terms and they magically get things back that are useful to them. We would like them to use Google. Of course, they might be using Google Scholar, the subset of Google that is the scholarly journals. So what we're faced with is what a professor in the Harvard Business School, Clayton Christensen, calls the innovator's dilemma. We in the library community are on this line, progress due to sustaining innovations, and we've got progress due to a disruptive innovation. We've got two red lines. The bottom red line is the performance demanded at the low end of a market, perhaps our undergrads. And then the red line at the top is the performance demanded at the high end of the market. These are the squeaky wheels in the faculty. And we're driven to provide more and more innovation along this top blue line until something comes into our ecosystem. In this case, we might, as I said, we might consider this bottom line to be Google. And at some point, point A here on the graph, that disruptive innovation, Google becomes good enough for these least demanding users to do what they need to get done. Google is good enough for the undergrad, or Google Scholar is good enough for the undergrad to find the three citations that they need on a particular topic and get to the content. In the meantime, we're continuing to subscribe to new databases, enhance our interfaces, try to meet the demands of our most demanding users. At some point, we get to point B. Arguably, I think we're past point A now, that Google, for the least demanding users, has taken the users no longer defaulting to library services for what they're looking for. We can argue whether we're at point B on this scale, and that's the point at which our innovations in libraries here have surpassed the needs of the most demanding users in our particular segment. Are we beyond that? Yes, no, maybe, I'm not sure. But what is important is this point C here, where the disruptive innovation, be it Google Scholar, whatever it might be, meets the needs of the highest demanding users, and then what happens? They stop using us. Perhaps because of another metric, perhaps because this disruptive innovation is easier to use. They don't have to sign into proxy servers or web pages or navigate the dozens of interfaces that they have, that we have to the information. For whatever reason, they stop using us and we become a dying industry, if you will. So, faced with this dilemma, we at OhioLINK started to consider what advantages we actually have as a library community to, if you will, out-Google Google. And one of the things that we think we have is our value of vetting information. Libraries have a long history of looking at content, deciding content that is authoritative or valuable versus content that may be questionable or not as valuable, and putting those valuable things in our collection. And we continue to do that, particularly in these tough budget times where we're spending dollars. What is it the highest bang for the buck that we're going to get? So the information that we're selecting and acquiring is arguably even the more valuable of all of the commercially produced information that is out there. In addition to that, libraries take a value in fielded searching, describing that information with a rich surrogate so that you can find it easy. Google's view of the world is a full-text search. You put in a keyword and you get back, based on some kind of relevance algorithm, the information that just maybe exists in words in that particular resource. In libraries, we take the view of describing the author, describing the title, maybe subject headings, maybe an abstract that more finely describes what that particular object is. And we think that we can leverage that activity of describing to bring the user to even more relevant items on their first page. We don't see a trend away from the user behavior of wanting that single Google search box. And so we want to design a system that has that search box, but also has the vetted content behind it, that selection activity, as well as the benefit of the rich description of that content. So with that in mind, OhioLINK is engaged in building a new discovery layer for all the vast quantities of information, both held centrally at OhioLINK and also within the member institutions. And we believe this discovery layer, this search interface, if you will, has four components to it. The first component is a unified index of all the content. This is what Google does when its spiders go out and get copies of the web pages and index it. And we want to do the same kinds of things with library information. We want to harvest the information out of our library catalogs. We want to get the information from the electronic journals and from the video databases and from our local institutional repositories. And we want to put that all together in one index. Now, there's some challenges associated with that. For instance, how do you rank the relevance of a journal article, which might be 10 pages in length, with a book that might be 200 pages in length? And so in creating this index, we have the opportunity to pre-compute relationships and relevance between items within this entire large index. It's not something that we have to do when the user, at the point that the user performs the search. It's something that we can do in the background overnight, take the time to look at the entire data set and compute the relative weights of each of the items in there. Now, but we understand that it's not going to be possible to get all of the data from all of our vendors. And so another part of our strategy is a federated search engine where we have a robot that at the time the user makes their request, that this robot will go out and search the things that we don't have in our index and bring back those results. We pay a penalty there in terms of time. Some of these remote databases won't respond right away. We also pay a penalty in not being able to compute the relative weight of one item against another. So the things that we get in this kind of federated mode are always going to be kind of second-class citizens to the things that we can pre-compute and pre-compute the relationships for. But we know that there are valuable things that we're only going to be able to get through a federated search interface. On top of that, we want a very clean and simple user interface. If the user studies of Google are any guide, this consists of a single search box with a single button that says search, or in Google's case, it's either search or do you feel lucky? Do I feel lucky? I can't remember.
Forget that one. Later on, that one, but
it's and so we want an interface that brings that harnesses both the power of the unified index and the ability for the federated search engine to go out and search things on the fly and bring them back in. We also want our user interface to take advantage of some of the social bookmarking, social media tools about sharing and discovering and annotating the things that are found out there, not only for themselves, but also for their classmates or fellow researchers. We want to make it possible, for instance, to have a persistent bookmark to a particular record that a user can put into a presentation or put into a syllabus or bookmark and share with others that will ultimately lead the user back to that record, no matter where, if that record came from the local library catalog or if it came from an index and abstract service or an electronic journal or something like that. And of course, all of this leads to what the user ultimately wants, which is delivery of this content. And in the web space, this is not a very interesting problem because a URL uniquely identifies that document. If you look up something in Google, you just go to that URL and you get to it. In the library space in which we're talking about, we have an issue of the most appropriate copy. For instance, a journal article might be held in the OhioLINK Electronic Journal Center. It might be held in a commercial service. It might be in a commercial publisher's database. And, you know, we of course want the user to use the least expensive of all of those options. We would prefer that they use the Electronic Journal Center where that item already exists. If it doesn't exist there, we might lead them to a commercial service which can supply it that we have a subscription to. And if it's not there, we might lead them to an interlibrary loan form that where the library can actually acquire that article and get it to the user on their behalf. But what we want to do is hide all of the complexity of that decision from the user. Ultimately, they don't care. They just want it, whether it exists in the EJC, whether it exists at Ohio State University, or whether it exists on a server in England. So this this notion of a robust delivery service tries to hide all of that complexity from the user and just gives them a button that says, go get it. So with the vision of these four components, late last year, OhioLINK put out an invitation to negotiate, a glorified RFP, if you will, and asked suppliers to respond to either the entire system, all four components, or to pieces of the components that they felt that they could do rather well. We got back a variety of responses, and the task force that is looking at this has looked at them and has started in a direction that at the moment I'm not at liberty to talk about. But the solutions basically fell into two kinds of categories. One was the cloud computing kinds of perspective, where we would buy a service from a supplier who would do this indexing for us, who would have the federated search engine, who would have the user interface and would interact with the delivery resolver. And we also had solutions that were proposed that were basically toolkits that were, we'll give you the tools that you need to put this together, and and we might provide some consulting services, but ultimately OhioLINK would install and run this system themselves. So a bit of the process, like I said, we put out an RFP, an invitation to negotiate. We got the responses back. We're evaluating the responses now and talking to one candidate vendor next week about a little bit more in depth about what the system is that we want to build. We're targeting the fall for a first phase of having something up and running for users to use. Now, we're approaching this from the internet beta process, where something has the beta label. It's certainly not complete when it rolls out, but it gives you a start, and it's a useful service on its own. If you remember back to that diffusion of innovation chart, it's another line that's starting to come up and maybe touches that bottom line of meeting the needs of the least demanding users. We know it's going to take a while to get up that line and to cross the point where we meet the needs of our most demanding users, But we're shooting for the least demanding users to start with, typically the undergrad who's looking for just those few citations on a topic that they want to research for their paper. So that's desired for the fall, and then to incrementally improve that over the months and years to come. It's our intention to create this service with a branding that can be tailored to a particular institution. So here at Wright State, it would be very heavy on the color green. At Ohio State, it would be very heavy on the color of scarlet and gray. You would have control over the how it looked and felt. You'd be able to put your own help links in, links to your own services, but it would be something that OhioLINK would host. If you're familiar with our Digital Resource Commons project, our institutional repository, we're taking that same approach there, where OhioLINK will run the software, we'll maintain the servers, but we'll give you control over how it looks and what content you put into it and so forth. So branding is something that can be applied to the institution. We also know that not everything is held centrally at OhioLINK, that there is content that is locally subscribed to. There may be content that's only appropriate to the local institution. So there will be ways of including that information in the unified index component or in the federated search component, so that the content retrieved by students, faculty, and staff from Wright State University will be appropriate selected content for them, and content from Case Western Reserve University will be content that they have access to and not content that they won't have access to. So that is our plans, and in our remaining time, I wanted to get a bit of a reality check here in terms of how this plan sounds to the technology staff at institutions. Is this something that you see having a place in your portals, in your content management systems? What kind of bridges can we start to build to get this interface for vetted content into the hands of the users? How can we help you help us do that? Any kind of concerns with or observations of the plan as it's been described so far, either the problem that we're trying to tackle or the solution that we're approaching. So open it up to discussions from here.
I know, I don't need to comment, but I'm going to on this one.
Please.
But I know as a student and a staff, I'm both here, we've incorporated that into our WING system. The OhioLINK system, you can go into the WING system, it's a portal like you were talking about, you can do searches through articles. And I've used that forever, and it's made life a lot easier on me when I'm doing research and such. But I like the idea you were talking about letting users kind of change the interface a little.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if that just applies to the directors, like, you know, the administrators of the portal, or if, like, you're going to create a system eventually where individual students and users can kind of change the way it looks and feels. But that, I like that idea.
Initially, we were targeting that kind of functionality towards the institution level. What kinds of? But I'm intrigued by this notion. What kinds of things in the interface would you look to tweak?
Well, for me, it isn't that big of a deal because I use this kind of search stuff. But I've heard a lot of other students just complain that it's sometimes like it throws too much at you at once, or it doesn't. And I hate this, but they say it doesn't look pretty enough.
Okay.
You know? Like to me, content is more important than looks, but I know a lot of users, they say it looks sometimes a little kind of lumped in together, and it's, for them, hard to see through, but as a user who's user frequently, I love it the way it is, so, I mean, I guess that would be more for another student who has issues using it to answer, but from the user that uses it a lot, I like the interface and I like the way it works.
And from what I took from your earlier comment, it's important to integrate this into the campus portal. So whatever portal platform exists at Wright State or elsewhere, it's important to talk to those people to get it in there as a component that can be moved around.
Yeah, definitely, because just to answer that question real quickly, that's the way I think a lot of people did, because a lot of universities put stuff in so many different places that it's hard to really know, okay, this is where I can go and find a lot of the resources I need. So that when we embedded that even more so into our Wings portal system, I know from a lot of classes, a lot of professors were talking about it being something new, even though we've had it for a long time.
Uh-huh.
They pretended like it was something totally new. But that move that we did allowed a lot of other users, at least from what I saw in classes that I've taken, to use it a whole lot more because it was more accessible.
Great observation. Thank you.
We have that same thing. Oh,
go ahead. Well, I was just going to add, I'm from Wright State, too. And I think the other thing for us with the portal, that what we've done is we've actually been able to customize it. So if you go in, we know who you are. We know what your faculty, what department you're in, or what's, if you're a student, what your major is. And so we've actually been able to customize what resources we push out to them initially. So when they go into the portal on the library tab, you know, if you're in education, we show you a list of the education journals and databases.
Mm.
So the idea of, if you don't know where to look, we're going to try to help you. So being able to customize it to that level where you take advantage of the portal and what we know about you, so when you go to it, you know, we can help or funnel you down the right path a little more. I think that would be really important, because I think that's been an advantage to what we've been able to do in Wings.
Great. Okay. Thank you.
The University of Akron, there's a big push across the, with our web developers and all that, to have the university web pages like have some basic structure as far as auditing looks the same, touchy-feely kind of thing, that it's in the same kind of thing. And then to have the information that, like, we're collecting with, like, knowing where people are looking in some within the university. But it's really kind of sad because the university's actually got, like, a Google, you know, an internal Google thing to search. And I use that, like, for work to find stuff that's on campus, you know what I mean? But to be honest with you, if you bail out and go to the Google search engine and do a search and put U of A in there, well, within their search engine, it's pretty, and are you feeling lucky? At least it'll save you a click. Because most of the time, the first thing that comes up is what you're looking for. I don't know how they do it. And another thing is, too, like, the amount of information out there, you think, that's what the problem there is, and that's what's nice about that, like the citations and stuff you can filter down through to get stuff. I know when I was in college looking for stuff, there was just like so much out there. But that way you can actually get right in the right areas, and that's why it was like good using the Ohio Link and all that, because you can focus right down into one area.
Mm-hmm.
The kids nowadays, they like that, you know, but they want to find it fast.
Yeah.
You know, they use that already, lucky, you know.
Right.
So, and
well, and this brings up a good point as well. This is a new interface that we're layering on top of our data. It's not replacing anything.
Right.
So for the specialized user who knows that they're in psychology and they need to search psych info, that interface still exists, and it has the more powerful search limiters and so forth. What we're attempting to do is to cover the broad strokes of what's available, to put in a couple of keywords and get back highly relevant results that may lead you to psych info or lead you into the database or resource that is most appropriate to you.
Like Boolean searches and things like that are so cool. You can hammer down stuff and get right exactly what you need.
Mm-hmm.
People I work with says, I don't know how I know so much. Well, I tell them I know how to Google. You know, I can do the Boolean searches.
Yes.
And stuff like that.
Right.
I helped set up a Medline system years ago. And that was one of my projects to help the library get that set with Terry Mackey.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Those kind of people, you know, getting all that set up and working. What I got to tell you a real quick story. One of my students had a problem. He went through a divorce, and he had a son was getting, he had a thoracic cyst.
I didn't know what thoracic cyst was at the time, but we just set this Medline system up. So I took them down there, and Terry Mackey helped me get it all set up and going. And this is all cool machine. I think at the time it's probably 386. You know, the CD banks all
yes,
went through
yes.
there. They found out that some doctor in Russia had found out lack of vitamin A in the diet, you know, would do that. And he wasn't up, you know, he couldn't afford to put all the surgery. And then they changed it. His wife was feeding the kid junk food all the time. And, you know, they changed the kid's diet and it was went away. you know, that, to me, I tell that story because you don't realize how the power out there, you know, that you have access to if you know how to look for it, or, you know, get the right people.
Right.
And the people are very great for helping you find stuff. It's amazing the information that's out there, especially nowadays, just to click away.
Yeah. I'll take a sidestep maybe into another area that's of concern in the library community, and that is with you're talking about medical information, how it's easy to find that and educate yourself about it. It's scary too. Yes, a lot of that information is published in for-profit journals, and there was a move in the last Congress in the appropriations bill to force researchers who get federal grant dollars from the National Institutes of Health to publish their papers openly on the internet within 12 months of it being published in a commercial journal. I think many people would argue that that's a good thing because you can do your own research, you can read up on these kinds of things and learn this. There's a bill that's been introduced in the latest Congress to deny federal agencies from taking that option. So it would not only reverse the NIH mandate, it's called the open access mandate, but it would also restrict the National Science Foundation or anyone else who gives grant dollars from doing the same thing. So if you hear about the Conyers, Representative Conyers in Michigan, it's the Fair Use of Published Scientific Literature Act of 2009. If you hear that come up, that's something that we don't like. It's being pushed by the publishing industry to lock that content back up behind the paywalls. So, yeah, they want it locked up. So, diversion aside, we can get back to the main topic.
My mom was
going to
do away with
it. Yeah, well, you know, there's
electricity
to
run everything.
I think, though,
everybody,
you were talking, Teddy, about Google being nice, but I mean, I think that would depend on what type of student you're also talking about, because there are some students who just want to do their 4 years, write their papers, and get out of here, and they don't really care where their resources came from, they don't care if they verify them, they just toss it out there. But one of the neat things about OhioLINK is that you go there, and you don't spend a lot of time worrying about, is this something that I can cite, or is this something that's just someone's blog that I can't tell what's going on here. So, that's more of a comment than a question.
But yeah.
That's one of the nice things I like about that system is that I've never run across a problem where I have to worry about, can I cite this, or is this going to come back and bite me later?
Well, and this is why I think we can out-Google Google, if you will, because librarians have taken that step of vetting where this information came from and at least knowing that it's coming from trustworthy sources versus somebody's basic blog site, you can treat it with a little bit more authority. You can treat it knowing that there's somebody that has looked behind this information and thought about its validity. So that's the advantage that I think libraries have over the open web for these kinds of research questions. It wouldn't be a good place to go to learn where the nearest Starbucks is, but to learn about medical treatments and so forth, we think we do have a valued role there in society.
The personal features that we've been talking about allowing individuals to do is called tagging. In other words, you can do your searching and you find a resource that you really like, and then you can create your own keyword to describe it so that gets indexed and then later on you could search on that same keyword and come back to that same resource. Is that something that you think?
If you're going to do the tagging, I think as a student, one of the useful things to do, sometimes when you're taking 20 credit hours at a time, it's getting hectic to remember. If somehow, and I know this is from the logistical side, this would be a nightmare, but somewhere down the road, there'd be a possibility to where you could organize those tags into like sections that when you log in, like she was talking about, it knows who you are when you go in. If you could make tags that say PLS 630, PLS 420, PLS, and then be able to tag that in relationship to there, so when you log in, you can go straight to the class and it shows the research you've already done in that section.
Oh, interesting.
I mean, that would be a time saver, because a lot of times I spend a lot of time, usually I just print out what I can and file it so it's organized, but if I had a way to just look and say, okay, I'm working on this, I can go into here and here's some stuff I've already tagged.
Being around the graphics is...
Right, like...
So here's
like,
my citations, and here's what
they're... Kind of like a hierarchy, you know, you could click and it would expand down and it would say, these are the things you've already tagged, and then you could click those and get sent to the material again. I think as a student, that would be useful.
Or I like that idea in the portal, and it also probably also comes into play when you get into the course management system, where you get into the Blackboard course and you want to see the things that you've tagged for that particular course. So bringing those in as resources into that particular course would be a good idea based on tags as well. That excellent idea.
Do you worry about privacy at all? I mean, to do this kind of customizing thing, we would have to ask you questions about who you were. Or else granting this information passed to us from the institution, so there's all that privacy issues.
That's why I thought the logistics of that would be, you know, hard. But I can't answer for every student, but I can infer that based on what people post on Facebook and MySpace, that they're really not
concerned
about privacy.
There's another thing, too. I don't know how they got it set up at our office with McAfee, but we've got another thing that's overlaying. Like, if you go to websites, you have that little question mark or green, or it's okay, the advisor.
Yeah, site advisor.
Yeah, site advisor's turned on. I love to do that for my machine at home. I asked one of my students how to do that. But anyhow, too busy doing other stuff. But that is so handy, because when you're in Ohio, and you know your sites are pretty much guaranteed. When you're out there in Google land, you're like in the wild. This is what's set. This is where I come, like, from the network site. I'm basically the network. So I use Cisco a lot, for looking for problems and stuff. How's come I go to Cisco's site and I'm going in and I log in with my account and I'm logged in and I got access to their entire database. I do a search for something, I can't find it. If I back out and go to Google and put the same things with quotes around it, I do a search, I find stuff on Cisco's site.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how their site is. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you're out in Google land or out there in the wild, you gotta be careful, because you don't know. This stuff could be stuff that's erroneous information that's all in Russia.
Right.
Yeah, it's like bad information.
Yes.
We looked at our new catalog on board in the Great State that has a tagging. Students can tag down when you go in and see your tag cloud, you know, how many things.
Can they store that as their cloud?
I think it's just now. I think it's whatever tags have been associated with this.
I think the person, if you store it as your own personal cloud that you have interest in, it's a really cool idea.
No, I knew the cloud was there because I've used that before. I just sometimes when you research 20 different things and it's displaying that, I mean, that's just like an ease of use thing. I mean, the information is still there, but that was just one idea.
You like your
Other thoughts or observations? If not, I do want to thank you for your kind attention here in the late afternoon. I realize that this is the last presentation between you and the drinks reception, so thank you for sticking with it. If you do have other thoughts about this, my email address is up here. Also, there's a copy of the slides at the URL at the bottom. We certainly want to hear from you and work with you to make this as useful on campuses as we can.
Thank you.
So thank you for your kind attention.
Thank you.